My name is Adam Cox. I'm the founder of Phobia Guru and a hypnotherapist based in Harley Street in central London. Now, the purpose of this audio download you've just received is really to help those that have coulrophobia, also known as clown phobia, deal with the increase in imagery and, say, material that have images of clowns. This is down mainly to the popularity of the Stephen King remake, which is called It. And this is by far one of the most popular horror films, certainly of this year, and by all accounts, the most popular film to be released in a September. So it's breaking records, and because of that, you can expect to see more images of clowns in national newspapers, online, and the publicity that will also come from the inevitable DVD, Blu-ray, streaming releases that will come in about 4 to 6 months' time. And there's already talk of a sequel. So this audio download really is to assist you in giving additional unconscious resources or strategies to help deal with images of clowns, which for those people that have a fear of clowns can be, anxiety creating, in a mild form, and can even create panic attacks in a very severe form. The first thing I really want you to do is, on a scale of 1 to 10, to give a score of just how, let's say, frightened you are, or what your reaction is, the intensity of your fear on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to clowns. And whatever that number is, I want you to remember that, because the goal is going to be to give you the strategies and resources to at least half that. So if it's an 8 out of 10 fear, then we want to get that down to about a 4 out of 10. Normally when I work with clients on a one-to-one basis, either in Harley Street or one of my other practices, my goal is to get the fear down to at least a 3 or below on a scale of 1 to 10, because that means they can cope with that particular fear. And what you tend to find is when it gets under 3, then you create almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, where they then notice that actually it doesn't have the same reaction that it caused previously. And because of that, then it reduces and reduces, because there's a concept known as cognitive dissonance. And basically that, in a short variation, version of that, is where you evaluate your beliefs by what you do. And if you notice that you don't feel the same intensity of anxiety when it comes to seeing a clown, then you'll evaluate and form a belief that therefore you're not frightened of clowns. And by having that belief, that then perpetuates this self-fulfilling prophecy that you can cope with images of clowns, and a year or two from now, you may look back and just think, well, what is there to be afraid of? And it will just seem like a different part of you that had this fear. So in a one-to-one session, I can, really have unique individual strategies that work with what's known as the sensitizing event. For some people, it might have been a scary film that they saw, maybe even the first version of It, or it could have been, seeing someone, not necessarily a clown, but someone dressed up in a costume when they were perhaps a child, and that created the event. And I can work with that specific situation. This audio download is not designed to do the same thing as a direct hypnotherapy consultation would do, but just to equip you with additional resources and strategies to enable that to be less significant in your life. So we're going to start, and I want you really to consider this a brief, short version of hypnosis. This isn't hypnosis itself. This is more of an NLP strategy. But what I want you to do to really kind of tap into the resources that you have, intellectually, is to find a comfortable place, and ideally a place that you won't be disturbed. And if wherever you are now isn't that suited, all I'd recommend is that you kind of pause this or look where the duration is currently, so you can kind of fast forward to this point, so that you can play this again without having to listen through to the introduction. Just a bit about my background, by the way, so you know who I am. My name is Adam Cox. I'm a hypnotherapist. I have a practice in Harley Street. I studied with the London College of Clinical Hypnosis. I'm accredited with the British Society of Clinical Hypnotherapists. I'm fully insured, and if you Google me, you'll see me on the things like the hypnotherapy directory and the general hypnotherapy register. You know, I've worked with celebrities, with CEOs, and with everyday people that are just highly motivated to make a change. And that change can be dealing with a phobia, or it could be with weight loss and addictions, which are the two other areas that I specialize in. Just to give you a bit of my credentials when it comes to phobias, I run a monthly workshop, and that monthly workshop tackles with different kind of animal fears. One of the most popular ones is spiders, and typically we'll get about 15 or 20 people coming into a room. And on a scale of 1 to 10, the initial fear will be around 8 or 9 or 10. We had one lady that literally hadn't gone into her garden for more than 2 years because in her mind, that's where the spiders were. So that's the severity. Now, the record is, or the success rate is 100%. You know, with these workshops, 100% of people that have attended have at least, you know, either held a, or captured and released a house spider, held a spider, or even held a tarantula. And the rationale of that is if you can hold a tarantula, which the average person not afraid of spiders would be fearful of doing, then it creates that cognitive dissonance. Well, if you can do that, then actually, how can you possibly be scared of everyday house spiders? You know, that's my experience. That's my credentials. I've been doing this for a long time, and more than happy to help in any way that I can. But this is specifically some strategies to help with clown phobia. So find a comfortable place. Pause this audio if necessary. And I'm now assuming that you're in that comfortable place and that you won't be disturbed. And what I'd like you to do is to take a nice deep breath. And as you breathe in, I want you to hold it for a split second and then just release. Release that breath. And what I want you to do is to feel like you're breathing in relaxation at the same time as you're breathing out tension. And we all carry tension. We all carry certain stresses around us physically. It's part of being human. But we don't always need these stress and this anxiety. So I want you to create a color, normally a warm color, yellow, orange, something like that, so that you're breathing in relaxation and you're breathing out tension. With each breath, I want you to almost physically imagine, and just close your eyes as you do this, but that you're breathing in that warm color of relaxation, holding it for a second, and then when you breathe out, you're just breathing out that tension, breathing out that anxiety. And I want you to continue doing that as I continue to just give you direct and indirect suggestions. I want you to imagine that as you breathe in relaxation and breathe out tension, that you're feeling more and more relaxed. With every breath, you're feeling more and more comfortable. And occasionally, while I'm talking, you may get distracted by just things going around in your world. You know, the sound of traffic outside of a window. You know, perhaps footsteps around. And I want you to just let them pass, almost just like clouds passing in the sky on a windy day. Just know that they're there, but not let them affect you. And as you continue to listen to my voice, breathing in that relaxation, breathing out that tension, what I want you to do is I want you to remember a time that you felt incredibly confident. Not just a little bit confident, but a time in your life that you felt absolutely invincible. A time that you felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Now that might have been when you were a child or more recently, but I want you to think back to that time and I want you to imagine that memory as if you're looking at yourself like you're someone else. And what I want you to do is to really analyze this memory and look at your body language, your posture, your breathing. And if you're breathing nice and deep, then I want you to mimic that breath and also breathe deeply. If your chin is slightly higher and your shoulders resting back and you look quite relaxed, then I want you to mimic just some of the physiology that you're experiencing in that specific time where you felt incredibly confident. Because there is a law called the law of dominant effect. And all it really means is that you can't feel two conflicting emotions simultaneously. In the same way that you can't feel happy at exactly the same time as feeling sad, it's also impossible to feel confident at the same time as feeling anxious. And this is really important, because what we're going to do, in the same way that sports people, professional athletes, have what's known as these anchors that mean that they can get in peak psychological states, zones of optimal performance on a consistent basis, you too are going to be able to create an anchor to access states of incredible confidence. And by doing so, it means that you have the ability to increase your confidence and erode the feeling of anxiety or fear whenever you see clowns. So I want you to look at yourself. Look at yourself at that time where you felt incredibly confident, and know that that's the case. Know it by how you look, how you breathe, and what's happening again in this memory. And at the point where you know categorically that you're looking at yourself as someone that is incredibly confident, I want you to imagine climbing into that version of yourself, that memory. So you're then looking at the memory through your own eyes. Adjust your breathing so you're breathing in the same way. Be back in that moment. And I want you to try and locate where you feel that confidence within you. Now, confidence as an emotional resource tends to be in the stomach or the chest. Occasionally it's other places, but I want you to really locate where you feel that confidence. And I want you to look out of your eyes at that scene, knowing that this is a time when you felt incredibly confident. And then with your left hand, what I want you to do is I want you to feel like you're increasing the intensity, make the whole memory bigger, brighter, more intense, more rich, at the same time as you squeeze your left hand. Make a fist and squeeze your left hand. And what we're doing here is we're creating a physiological anchor for an emotional state. And I want you to do this 3 or 4 times. I want you to be back in the memory, knowing that you feel confident, locate the location of feeling confident, make the whole scene bigger, brighter, more rich, more vivid, at the same time as squeezing your left hand. That's excellent. And I want you to do that several times. Just rewind it back into the moment. Know that you're feeling confident, very, very confident. Make you even more confident as the scene gets bigger, brighter, more vivid. Squeeze the left hand. Do that 3 or 4 times. And just know that what you're doing, in the same way that Andy Murray might make a fist every time he gets an important point, that's just anchoring a certain emotional state. And you're doing the same thing for confidence now. That left hand gripped is an anchor for confidence for you. And what I want you to do is I want you to also internalize a sound, a word, a phrase that you would say only if you were feeling incredibly confident. This is really, really important. So I want you to be back there in the moment. And your word might be yes. For example, yes is a very confident word, as long as the tonality is right. So if you're saying yes, I want you to say the word yes at the same time that you're making everything bigger, brighter, more rich, and squeezing your left hand. So everything happens at the same time. You're back there in the moment, knowing that you're confident, make it bigger, brighter, more rich, squeeze the left hand at the same time that you say yes. And the word may be a different word, but whatever it is, I'm using yes as an example. You might say yes, and that's when you know that you're confident. And you can rewind this audio and do it as many times as you need to. But what we're doing is we're making it so that as you squeeze the left hand, at the same time as saying that word, such as yes, that becomes a trigger, an emotional anchor to create confidence. Practice that as many times as you need, because the next thing I want you to do is I want you to imagine. Just imagine that you are in a room. I want you to imagine that you're in a room. And I want you to imagine that between you and the rest of the room is very, very thick bulletproof glass. Very, very thick bulletproof glass. And what I want you to do is imagine that there is a person in that room that is the same size as a mouse. So you're your normal size, but in this room behind the bulletproof glass, so there's no way that person could get anywhere close to you, is a small person the same size of a mouse. Okay? And I want you to dress that person as a clown. I want you to remember they're the same size as a mouse. Okay? Tiny person, there's bulletproof glass between you and this person, and I want you to dress them. You put the big floppy shoes on, but you do it in stages, maybe the shoes first, then the silly outfit, knowing that you're just dressing a very small, vulnerable person. It's a person, and you're dressing them. Because a real clown dresses themselves. You never see them as a person getting dressed. You only see them once they're dressed. So you're actually going to dress this tiny person, same size of a mouse, in a clown outfit. You dress them with the long shoes, the baggy trousers, maybe a flower that squirts water or something like that. And then I want you to put the wig on, you know, the bright color costume, and then the white, maybe face paint, something like that. And just know that you've done that. You've turned what's a person, albeit a very small person, and you've made them into a clown. And what I want you to do is to give that clown a name. That name, I want you to call a ridiculous name. Not like a clown type of name, like, you know, Bobo the Clown or Krusty the Clown. Something that would be a very human name. So call your clown Jim or Dave or whoever it might be. And give that clown a name. And it's a person, a human name, not a clown name. Okay? And then I want you to slowly shrink the clown and make the clown even smaller first. You're going to make it the same size as like a 5 pence coin. Shrink it even down. And just know that even if that bulletproof glass wasn't there, you could walk over to that clown and literally tread on them and they would completely be squished like a small animal. And know that the clown is just a human dressed up as a clown. Okay, you're still behind the bulletproof glass, and now I want you to slowly increase the size until you make them slightly bigger, the size of a cat. And just know that so far the anxiety, even though there's a clown there behind this bulletproof glass, that the intensity of this fear currently, because they're so small, and you've seen that they were human beforehand, and they've got a human name, the intensity might be very low. It might be a 2 or a 3 on the scale of 1 to 10. And then I want you to make it slightly bigger. So it's the size of a small child, for example. Now you might find that as they become bigger, actually, the fear increases. But here's the key thing I want you to do. When it gets to about 4 or 5 level fear, then I want you to press your left hand in a fist and say that phrase that you've created for your anchor, like yes. And just know that actually, as you feel more confident, then actually the anxiety that you feel for this clown actually reduces. What I want you to do is to increase the size of the clown. And as you feel more anxious, fire off your confidence anchor each and every time. So yes, yes, all the way through. So the clown can get bigger to the same size of an adult person. And the intensity of the fear is still perhaps no more than 3, 4, 5 at the absolute maximum. And keep firing off your confidence anchor to do that. Keep reminding yourself that they are just a person dressed up as a clown, not a clown in and of itself. They are a person. And if you dressed up as a clown, you would be a clown to other people, but you're still a person. Remember their human name, whatever name you've given them. Okay? And then what I want you to do is I want you to talk to them through the bulletproof glass and ask them what they're afraid of. You know, realize that they are just a human. And the key thing with clowns is that quite often the mask is just a way to enable them to be someone a bit more confident or a bit more wacky. You know, what I know in my experience working with lots of clown phobics is I've actually researched, I've talked to a few clowns, and what you tend to find is that they're very vulnerable, nervous, unconfident people. And the mask they put on of a clown costume enables them to be a bit more wacky and a bit more extrovert. Quite often they're very introverted characters. So in the same way, I want you to think of a time where perhaps, you know, maybe at a fancy dress party or a Halloween, actually, in the same way that this vulnerable, unconfident clown might feel more confident when they're wearing a clown outfit. It gives them a license to be a bit more wacky and funny. In the same time that I want you to remember maybe a Halloween party or something like that, that your intention was never to scare people, but actually by having fun and creating fun for other people, wearing whatever your mask was at that time enables you in that specific moment to be someone else. You get to be a different character. And that was a fun, enjoyable time, but it doesn't mean that you are that identity. You're still you as a person, in the same way a clown is still a real person. But as you make them life-size, what I want you to do is drain the color out of them, make them black and white. And as you make them black and white, I want you to realize again that the overall intensity of the fear has now changed. They're now human-like. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that their clown costume clothes are being changed for normal clothes. Use your imagination to see them rather than in big baggy trousers, see them in normal jeans. Rather than big red long shoes, just see them in trainers. Rather than a wig on, see them with a normal, you know, hairstyle, haircut. Take off their face paint. And what you've then done is created a new association that you can always imagine a clown as who they are as a real person. Because the fact is, you're not scared of everyday people. You're only scared of clowns because you're looking at what the archetype represents and what the costume hides. Once you see them as a real person, actually, they become a real person. And you can shift them from seeing them in color and in your mind's eye, seeing them in black and white, shrinking them down. As you shrink them down, suddenly you've changed the association you have with them. That's right. And I want you to play around with that. And at the point where you've changed this clown into black and white, wearing normal human clothes, and then I want you to shrink them down to the size of a small person, then all I want you to do is to get rid of this, as long as the anxiety is 4 or less, get rid of this bulletproof glass, walk over to them, and just realize how vulnerable they are. They're an adult, same size of a child, all black and white, and at the same time, they are very insecure, very confident. And most clowns are, by the way. You know, most clowns that dress up as clowns, if they were very wacky and extrovert, they wouldn't be a clown. They're doing this because it becomes an escapism for them. It becomes a way for them to be a character where they do get to be fun and outrageous. In most cases, they really aren't. And just realize that what you can do in your mind will change how you see clowns in the future. You'll see them as more human-like. You will also see them as very vulnerable, unconfident people. And also, I want you to really appreciate what the intent of a real clown is. And the intent of a real clown really is to make people laugh, you know, provide joy, pleasure, and enjoyment for other people. Like you, you know, they are wearing a mask to escape, to be someone else for a period of time. And we've all done that. So they're no different from you. And I want you to remember that confidence anchor. That confidence anchor that you can squeeze that left hand, say the word yes or whatever it might be, and create a feeling of confidence and know that you can't feel confident and anxious at the same time. To be anxious, you have to breathe very quickly, very shallow from the chest, and you have to create certain muscle tension in your body. If you're relaxed, if your chin is up, if your chest is pumped out, if you're looking confident, breathing confidently, you can't feel anxious in that time. If you're breathing nice and slow from your diaphragm, it's impossible for you to feel anxious this time. So there's just a few tools and strategies here, and I want you to really practice that. And after this audio, what your homework really for this is to locate images, because there's another process called desensitization, and I want you to locate images that are of clowns, but are very harmless looking clowns. You don't want to find a picture of, you know, scary clowns or killer clowns. You want to find a very mild picture of a clown, even a cartoon image. And then just practice with your posture. Imagine shrinking them down, changing the colors in your mind's eye, you know, imagining the human that's behind that person. And even if you do see a picture of the Pennywise the clown from It, you know, what I want you to do is to look at a few images of, I think it's Bill Skarsgård, I think his actual name is, the actor. And just look at him in normal life, see interviews of him, so that even you know, the image that you see of a dangerous clown is actually, you know, just an actor playing that role. And the more you can see the human behind the clown and use your imagination to change how you feel about it, the lower intensity will be. And you can listen to this audio as many times as you need. And what you'll find is that each time you do, it then gives you more tools, strategies, and resources because you have the confidence, you have the ability to move your body language, your physiology, your breathing in a way that makes it impossible to experience anxiety in that moment. And each and every time you do that, the image of clowns will have less and less impact until the phobia is already gone. Also, be aware that, you know, this is something I specialize in. So if at any point in the future, whether it's a phobia of clowns or anything like that, you would like a private one-to-one session with me, whether it's in Harley Street or by Skype or whatever it might be, you can always find out more information by checking out the website, which is phobiaguru.com. Hope you've enjoyed this audio. If you have, feel free to message me. My contact details are on the website. It's always good for me to hear if something's useful. If you have any positive feedback or anything like that, feel free to let me know. But the best of luck in dealing with images of clowns, and rest assured that phobias are one of those things that you can get rid of in minutes. You know, people think that phobias have to affect their entire life. They don't, you know, and I've dealt with more than 200 people and got rid of phobias in less than often 2-3 hours, and they don't get that phobia back. So if you need any more information, again, take a look at my website, which is phobiaguru.com. Thank you very much.